the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, says here, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And tonight I want to see about glorifying God through missions. And I like your sign here as it's talking about 2020, seeking the lost, because that's a great way we can bring glory to God. As we share His word with others, as we share the gospel with the lost, and as it's a blessing to hear about the announcements tonight about starting the bus ministry again and doing those different things as you get those things going again, that's a blessing to hear. And so the Bible talks about here in this verse that one day every tongue, every person from every country, language and tribe, every nation shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming, and for some it will be with great joy as they are saved, but then for others they will know at that time that they were wrong in not accepting Christ as their Savior, and they'll be condemned. For some it will be too late if they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that's why we need to make sure we do all that we can in sharing the gospel with the lost and dying world. And I tell you, especially right now, there's a lot of uncertainty still here in the United States and in other countries as well. There's a lot of people not sure of the future or what it might hold. There's many people who've lost their jobs or lost their businesses. They've come to great financial distress. And so there's many challenges people are facing today. And we need to make sure that we share the gospel now more than ever. Because there's some, maybe right now, who are more open to the gospel, who will listen to what you have to say more now than they were maybe in January of this year. In January, they had their plan for the year. They had their idea of what they wanted to do. But around March, a lot of those ideas changed. And so now is a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with others. And that's what they're doing still there in Uganda. Even now, they're sending me some updates of people who have gotten saved and people are still being baptized. And that's a blessing to hear. And they've been telling me that people are still open to the gospel, and even during these times. And so I want us to see three things here tonight, ways that we can glorify our Father, and things that we need to do if we want to continue to reach others with the gospel, not just through missions, but as that wonderful testimony here tonight about that man being saved. That's a blessing to hear about that. Not just having a concern, not just praying for them, but going out and talking to them, putting action to that prayer, putting action to that concern. And that's what we need to do, is to take action in sharing the gospel with others. And that's what Jesus Christ did when He came to this earth to die for us on the cross. He put His love, His concern, His compassion into action as He came down and lived His life, and as He gave His life for us on the cross. He showed us the greatest love that could ever be shown. Now let us see here tonight, first of all, we glorify the Father when we become like the Son. We're to be Christ-like, aren't we? And this is how we should be in our life. Our life should match the message that we're speaking. Others should see Christ in us. You know, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we see we're to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look down at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're to be having that mind like Christ did. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came as the Lamb of God. He came to serve. He came to reach us with the gospel. And that's what He did. He gave His life for us so we might have life. And by the way, we should also be here to serve one another, to help one another, to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. That's what the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to do. You know, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As you think about Jesus Christ and about the life that He lived, we should desire to live a life as He did, as far as that He lived His life for others. He lived His life in such a way that He could share the gospel with others, to bring others to Himself. And we also should be in this way. There's a story some years ago about a missionary family, the Collins family. They come through our church there in Oklahoma City when they're on deputation and they're raising their support. Joe and Tana Collins, and they went to Tibet. And they were there and he learned the language and was doing a good job in serving the Lord. And they went away for a few days just to do a few things. And when they came back, they were coming back by plane. And their plane ran into the side of the mountain there, and all of them died. And there's a terrible time to have the loss of that family. But through that and through their testimony, there's an orphanage that was started there. And we're in Tennessee a few years ago, and her father was there. Tana Collins' dad was there and her mom, and they shared a testimony with us. And they told us that we're there that day about what had happened about that orphanage that was started. And they're over there, and they just completed making a New Testament in that language. And they said there was a shaman, Tibetan shaman who had come down that was one of the religious leaders. Every village has a shaman priest. And this shaman priest had come down from the mountains and was coming to this place. He'd heard about these missionaries who had died. And he wanted to know what kind of God is it that they're serving, that they'd be willing to give their life for their God. And so he came down there and he got that New Testament and they led him to the Lord. And he took that New Testament back with him up to that village up there in the mountains. Now this is a shaman priest. It's kind of similar, it sounds like, to what we have in Uganda, like a witch doctor. They have all their little artifacts that they use for their religion and things. And this man got saved and he said now they're only allowed to have one shaman priest per village. And so this is a shaman priest for that village until he died. They cannot get another one until this man died. And so he's their shaman priest, and he goes back up to his village. He's saved. And they said the first thing he did, he got out all of his witchcraft things, and he took them out in front of his hut, and he burned them. That's a good way to get the attention of the village. They're thinking, what in the world's going on? And this shaman priest, he didn't have anybody to teach him. He didn't have a Bible college or anything else. And so he had that New Testament. He started reading that New Testament. And as he began reading that New Testament, he learned, I'm supposed to tell others about Jesus. Seeking the lost. So he started going around the village and visiting people in the village and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, this is their shaman priest. He's the only one they're allowed to have until he dies. And so one night, some of the men in the village came out of their homes and they went to his home and they grabbed him, they drug him out, and they started beating him with sticks. And they said, we're going to kill you. They wanted another shaman priest. This one was messed up. He got saved. And he wasn't doing their things anymore for them. And so they began to beat him to death. And he said he had that New Testament in his pocket. And he pulled that out and he said he held it up. And he said, you may kill me, but my God said it's better to die for him than it is to live. And he said when he said that, they just dropped their sticks and went back into their homes. And now there's a village up there on those mountains with a little church running about 60 people. And that shaman priest is a pastor. And it's amazing to hear about through the death of John Tanner Collins how God raised up a church in that place. And I know that's something that would bring them joy to know what God has done there. And it's amazing the words that that former shaman priest said. Just like in Philippians, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As you think about becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life so that we might have life. He gave his life and he has given us the command to live our life for him, to share our faith with others. And that's something that God would have us to do, and we glorify the Father, we become like the Son. You know, I remember working a job when I was in Bible college, and I was working a new job, and some people were talking to me. You know, sometimes when you work a job in Bible college, they know you're in Bible college, they like to give you a hard time and make fun of you some. And we were talking to some of the men there, and one of the men said, I go to a Baptist church too. And I thought, Lord, I wish it had been anybody else who had said that except for that guy. Because he is one of the ones that said the worst words, the worst jokes, the worst of everything. And come to find out, he's a Baptist too. His life didn't match what he said he believed. We're to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to bring glory to him. We're to have that Christ-like compassion. Instead of being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Why did he do that? Because of his love for us. The Bible says this is the greatest love that could ever be shown. In John 3:16, a very familiar verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the kind of love that we should have, a Christ-like love, a compassion for others. We glorify the Father and become like the Son. Also, secondly, we glorify the Father when we bring glory to the Son. You know, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, the Bible says in John 10:30, I and my Father are what? are one. Of course, we know and believe that Jesus Christ is God. And that's what we teach people there in Uganda as well. But I've heard of some new thing, they call it Chrislam. I don't know if you've heard of that. And what you're saying, that Christianity and Islam, they're trying to bring them together. There's some churches here in the States doing that, and I've heard of it there in Uganda. Even if you read the news and things, the Pope that they have now is trying to bring them and the Muslims together. By the way, the end times are coming. I mean, we don't know when it might be. It could be at any moment. It could be right now. I mean, that time could come at any time now. And I think about that the other day. You know, with all the things that have happened now, and you've seen the stock market, in just a few months, how the world seemed to fall apart and everything. Now, can you imagine what's going to happen when people just disappear? I'd like to hear that news conference with Dr. Fauci about explaining that one, about the disease or the virus that came that took all these people away. I don't know what it's going to be. I told somebody in another church, and said maybe he'll say those are the ones who didn't wear face masks. I don't know. But, you know, one day we're just going to disappear. We'll be with our Lord forever. But Jesus Christ is God. And, you know, I have had some people there in Uganda, a couple Muslims, tell me, oh, we serve the same God. We just call him a different name. I said, really, you believe Jesus is God? They said, no. I said, then we don't have the same God. And we don't. Some people think that we do, but no, we serve the true and living God. Jesus has been exalted by God. Look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know, they sang that song today about bow the knee. One day every knee shall bow. Every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. God the Father has declared that Jesus is Lord. Verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, there in Uganda, we have some more people who are saved, and we'll be talking to them, and they'll say, well, yeah, my family, you know, they're good people. I said, well, are they saved? Well, you know, they're really good people. I said, you're saved, aren't you? Yes, I'm saved. Then you know it's not enough to be really good people to go to heaven. You know, sometimes we're kind of complacent where we are. And we kind of think, well, yeah, my friends, my family, all the guys I've worked with for all these years, they're really good guys. But being good is not enough to go to heaven. There's only one way you can go, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is good enough, and I know we know this already. But sometimes if we're not careful, we get a little bit complacent in our life. And our outlook is we look at our neighbors and our friends and others and think, yeah, that's a good fella. But that's not enough to go to heaven. You know, we need to make sure that we're telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is honored as we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. That's in John chapter 5, verse 23. In John 12, 32, it says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Think about that. Are we lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes we lift up other things. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just not comfortable. I really don't know how to meet new people, to talk to new people. But we do it all the time. You go to new restaurants, you talk to the waitress. You talk to the people around. You go to a football game, you talk to the people around. I mean, you go to the grocery store, to other places, you talk to people you meet for the first time and have no problem at all. But we need to also talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk to people all the time. But we need to make sure that we're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. We glorify the Father when we bring glory to the Son, when we tell others about him. And this brings us to the last point here. We glorify the Father when we bring others to the Son. You know, this is something that brings glory to our Lord when people get saved. The Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven. When you got saved that day, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. When I got saved, I was 10 years old. There's that rejoicing that was there. This is something that is well-pleasing to our Lord. In Philippians 4:10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, I want people to recognize that before they die, because once one dies, it's too late. It's too late for them to recognize their mistake, like that rich man in hell. It was too late for him the moment he died. And that's the way it still is today. I heard a story some time ago about a lady who was working at a church. And she just lived about 2 or 3 blocks from the church. And so she'd walk there every day as she was going to work. And somebody challenged her about prayer. And so she started praying about different things in her life more. Just started praying about everything. And she even was praying one day. And she said, "Lord, even just show me the way you want me to go. It doesn't matter what it is, even if it's just going to church." And she always walked the same way, but she said that day she felt impressed to walk a different way. She said as she was walking up to the church that day, she just walked another block over, and she was going a little bit different way. There's a man out pushing a lawnmower. He's mowing the grass at his house. And he's out doing that, and she said hello and invited him to church there and just started talking to him for a minute, and he trusted Christ as a Savior that morning. Oh, she was so excited. She got to church. She was telling everybody about what the Lord had done, about how she prayed, and just felt impressed to go this way. And by the way, God does speak to our hearts, doesn't he? And she was so excited. And then she said the next day, and the newspaper is saying there has been a fire. And as that very house where she had been at, that house burned down, and that man died in that fire. Can you imagine if she had not walked that way that day? That man would have died and gone to hell. It would have been too late for him, just like it is for others. Not only in Uganda, not only in South Sudan, not only in Rwanda and Congo, but even right here where we are today. There's people who are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can bring glory to our Lord as we tell others about him. This is something God wants us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we're teaching people there in Uganda. That's what we're teaching the young men and young ladies in the Bible college. We have 50 students now in the Bible college, and it's a blessing as they're coming and as we're able to train them. And it's just like it is here in the States. There's some people who come, they make it, there's some who don't. But, you know, we teach them about serving the Lord, about soul winning, about going out and reaching people with the gospel, about baptism, about discipling other people. Those are things that we're working on there, just like we work on here. And as a blessing here in your church tonight, as I said about the announcements and about the different things, now you're starting back again. I'm excited about things getting started back again more there in Uganda. We're excited about getting back and seeing what the Lord's going to continue to do there. But I know there's coming a day in which every person will know that Jesus is Lord. But at that time, it'll be too late for many. That's why we're to proclaim his name today. There in Uganda, throughout East Africa, throughout the United States and all the world. And look over in Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment. Philippians chapter 4. There's coming a day in which we'll get to meet those that are there in heaven, those that we've personally led to the Lord, and also those that we've given to missions and others have reached them in our place. Because the Bible says we're laborers together. We're working together and reaching others with the gospel. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, For even in Thessalonica he sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. As you saw the video tonight, almost all the people that were in that video are people who have been led to the Lord through the ministries there at the churches there that God has allowed us to help to start. There's been a few who are led to the Lord in other places and have come to work with us. But the majority of the people that you saw in that video tonight are people that have been added to your account, are people that you've helped us to reach with the gospel as you've given to missions and as we've been there in Uganda. Those are people that you've helped us to reach with the gospel. And as you saw also, even they're going out and leading other people to Christ. And it's a blessing to me to see Pastor Sadok in that video. He's from Rwanda. He came up when that genocide happened in Rwanda. He escaped from Rwanda. His brother was killed, but he made it out by himself. And he got saved at our church, and we trained him as one of our first graduates. And now he's gone back, and he's starting churches, and he's training men there also, and seeing those men now starting churches. Kind of like your great-grandkids do in the Lord, in the faith, amen? That's also fruit that is added to your account as you give to missions. And we see here in verse 18, let's look on down here. It says, but I have on abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. Look at this last three words here. Well-pleasing to God. This is something that's well-pleasing to Him. This is something that glorifies our Father, I believe, that brings joy to His heart as we share our faith and as we give to missions and as we see people being saved. This is something that is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. I like verses 19 and 20 also. This is that promise of provision, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now my God shall supply all your need. We teach the people in Uganda about these same things because, you know, we use the same Bible. I mean, we have the same promises. We're saved the same. Everything's the same. It's a different type of food sometimes. So my kids been talking about they've been missing some of the food there. And there's a different type of food. There's different languages, even over 60 tribal languages. But we're still saved by grace through faith. It's still the same message. It's still the same work that we've been called to do. And so we teach them there also about church. And we teach them about missions. And the church there also supports missions. And also is sending out people from the churches. And we're encouraging our churches to get up and also help start other churches as well. And to get involved in reaching out to more people. And this is fruit that is added to your account. And then also, we teach them about God supplying every need. Sometimes in Uganda, the people there, and I think even sometimes in the States, even here sometimes, that if we're not careful what we do. I know this has happened in Uganda. I spent more time there than I have here now. But, you know, sometimes people there get the idea, well, God, you supply my need, and then I can give. But that's not how God works. That's not what the Bible teaches. God says, you give, and I'll supply your need. He may not always supply every want, but He'll always supply that need, as He promised. I've seen God do that time and again in our life. I've seen God do that in the lives of our people in Uganda. There's many people in Uganda who might make $100 a month or less. I mean, we in the States, people use that just for going out to eat in a month normally. But that's the money they have for the whole month. And yet, you'll see people tithe. Yet, you'll see some people giving to missions and doing other things. I tell people there, nobody is too poor to give. All of us can do our part. All of us can do our part in giving our tithe to support the church, to help us to reach people in our area, to give the offerings to help our church, to help with the bus ministry as other things we're doing, to give to missions to help us to reach all the world. All of us can take part in this because this is what we need to do. We need to bring glory to God. We need to bring others to Him. We need to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And this is how we can do that. As we live our life in a way that is well-pleasing to Him. As we point other people to the Savior. This is what God would have us to do. And I want to thank you here tonight because I know you've helped us do that in Uganda. You've been faithful to us over so many years and helping to support us there. Not only with your finances, but also with your prayers. And there's been many times we've known people have been praying for us because we've seen God do some great things in our life and in the ministries there. And so I want to thank you for that faithfulness, and it's my prayer that you'll continue to be faithful to our Lord and that you'll continue to serve Him and bring glory to Him. Let us pray. Dear Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the church here and for the wonderful testimony of